This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is Thursday, and this is 1320 WILS, 81 right now, and it's going to be down to 66 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, way up to an 88 as a high tomorrow, and then a low of 69. It's just going to be hot and humid all day long. And then Saturday, expect some thunderstorms, a high of 85 on Saturday. 50 years ago this weekend, July 23rd, was when the Detroit riots began, and it led to 43 people dying, 7,200 arrests, so more than 2,000 buildings destroyed. My next guest has written a book about it. MSU geography professor Joe Darden is here, author of Detroit, Race Riots, Racial Conflicts, and the Effort to Bridge the Racial Divide. Joe, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. And do you have any personal connection to Detroit?
I do not. My connections to Detroit are academic, research-oriented, and it's consistent with my research to study places that I'm close to in terms of geography. I've never lived there.
Now, what really was the cause of the rise? What do you think really unleashed that rage?
Well, it's not what I think, it's what I know. The race riots in Detroit, or sometimes called Black Rebellion, occurred due to institutionalized racism. And
what does that mean?
Well, I will explain what it means. Institutionalized racism is different from individual kind of prejudices. Institutionalized racism exists when there are structures that produce and reinforce racial inequality over time.
And how was that reflected in Detroit in the late 60s then?
Well, in the late 60s, the residents of Detroit recognized the inequality on the basis of race. Inequality exists in terms of employment, housing, and education. Those were the three areas that were so obvious.
Okay. And what would you say the living conditions were for black residents of Detroit back then?
Well, if you look at the situation of blacks at that time, the unemployment rate for blacks was 18%. Unemployment was 10%, whites was 5%, and so the ratio was 2-1, mm-hmm. meaning that blacks' unemployment was higher than whites two times.
Okay.
The poverty rate for blacks was 18% compared to only 6.2% for whites. So blacks had a poverty rate of three times out of whites at that time.
Was there any sense then in 67 that this was about to happen?
Well, yes, because leading up to it, blacks had been peacefully protesting for several years, in fact. Mm-hmm. Even when Martin Luther King arrived in Detroit several years earlier, blacks were peacefully protesting, continued to do so. But they were not heard by the white establishment. They essentially ignored them and blamed them for their condition.
And what were they? I mean, what were the residents actually looking for? Was it something specific?
Well, they were looking for equality in terms of employment. They were looking for less racial segregation and neighborhood inequality. Mm-hmm. Blacks were paying a color tax at that time, meaning that the rent levels were higher for the same quality, or they were lower for quality that was less than that of whites. And so in a sense, that became a situation where blacks became angry over. Okay. And the school system at that time was segregated and continued to affect the situation where kids were not getting an equal education. So those three areas were priority. And then the fourth one was that of police brutality. Mm-hmm. Blacks experienced continuous police brutality among white police officers. Very few blacks were on the police force, and whites would then brutalize blacks daily basis, killing some of them over time. So the situation you have today in the case of Ferguson, Missouri, and other places, those were small because blacks were experiencing this for a long time. This is a continuation of the situation. There's mm-hmm. very little difference from 1967 all the way to the present day when it comes to the treatment of blacks, when it comes to the police.
I'm talking to MSU geography professor Joe Darden. His book is Detroit, Race Riots, Racial Conflicts, and the Effort to Bridge the Racial Divide. So, Joe, was there, how well planned out was this, the riot itself? I mean, thousands of people, 7,200 arrested. So was there an actual plan here?
No, it was not the case at all. In fact, the the riots only occurred in certain sections of Detroit. There were other places that didn't experience them at all. It was highly concentrated along 12th Street and Claremont. And that was the core of the area. After the police raided the Blind Pig, the riots spread it from that area, but never really covered the whole city. Highly localized.
Okay. And why did that area get most of the rioting then?
Well, that was the area where blacks had been moved to from Black Bottom. They were moved to that section. It was highly overcrowded and concentrated. Mm-hmm. And it was an area that one could predict would explode at some point because it was highly concentrated, overcrowded housing, and the treatment by the police was something that was on a regular basis.
And what was the rationale of destroying, you know, buildings within your own neighborhood?
Well, that's something that one doesn't necessarily. It was the kind of outrage that they engaged in, and it got out of hand. So it was not something that they had planned to do. But once the situation started, it was hard to control it.
Okay, in terms of the reaction then of, obviously, the National Guard came in and the Army, too. What's your view on how that affected the ongoing riot?
Well, that was something that, again, President Johnson ordered that to occur because he was so bothered by the fact that Detroit had exploded so much. Right. It was worse than Detroit.
Was that a proper reaction, in your view, though, to bring in the National Guard?
Well, that's difficult to assess at this time because he was getting a signal from the governor at that time, Romney. Mm-hmm. Romney was getting his from the police, and so Johnson was reacting to them. If they had not requested it, he would not have done it. So you have to put that, essentially, the situation to those who are making that decision on the ground.
Do you think the riot would have spread more widely then if that the troops had not come in?
There's a possibility it might have, but we don't know for sure. Yeah. Because he did act on it, and then that sort of closed it down and kept it into an area that was highly localized.
Okay, which was a good thing for the city on the whole? Or?
Well, that's difficult to assess, or difficult or not difficult, because it did slow it down, stop it, and to assess whether it was a good thing for the city, one has to assess whether things got better after the Black Rebellion or not. And if you look at it over time, the situation really did not get better. You had the corporate executives would organize and create certain organizations, New Detroit and others, to create more jobs and opportunities. But that only lasted for a short period of time. They talked about it, but there was still inaction when it came to policies to address the issue.
Well, and what do you make of the reaction by the white population to leave the city?
Well, they were essentially frightened over what happened. Now, keep in mind, many whites were leaving even before the civil disorders. Whites started to leave Detroit after 1950, in fact, and they continued to do so. The civil disorders accelerated the white movement, but didn't cause it because they moved.
Really? So before the riots, so why were whites leaving even back in the 50s?
Well, they were leaving because the jobs were moving outside the city, out into the suburbs. And so whites merely followed them there, and the federal government had provided whites an opportunity for home ownership if they would move outside the city to the suburbs. It denied that opportunity to blacks. There were many blacks who wanted to leave as well because that was where the opportunities were. New housing could be built. You become a homeowner if you would take the opportunity to do so. And the federal government enhanced them to move out or participate in the process of them moving. Contribute to the whole situation of continued suburbanization of the population.
Talking to MSU Geography Professor Joe Darden here on 1320 WILS. So in your view, had the riots not occurred, would Detroit be a whole different city today?
I think so. I believe so. Had the situation not occurred the way it did. But the key factor here would be that the policies were not really implemented based on the recommendation of the Kerner Commission. Because they gave the people of Detroit three choices here. One was to essentially create an avenue for blacks who wanted to leave to actually do so, allow them the opportunity to move outside the city, but most whites did not allow it. The other one would be to provide opportunities for blacks who stayed in the city, and that didn't happen either. So what you had was essentially a situation of whites maintaining the status quo, and that is a separate and unequal situation with the opportunities existing in the suburbs and the opportunities not existing in the city.
You know, tell me, and after that, though, when you saw black mayors and the black residents running the city, did things change in any way, do you think?
The only advantage we had there was you did have a reduction in the police brutality because the police force in Detroit did become more racially diverse under the administration of Coleman Young. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult to do so, but he did do it and change it, and that reduced some of the hostilities and the pressures that existed in parts of blacks in the city. But it didn't completely handle that situation because even after that, there were still some blacks being killed by the police. But political representation did change, and that was the only benefit. Economically speaking, the situation really didn't change that much. In fact, it got worse.
Hmm. What when you look at Detroit today, how would you say the racial elements of Detroit are today?
Well, the situation today, you have a majority black city, 82% black, and you got only less than 10% whites are there. Mm-hmm. And the black unemployment rate is still 27%, mm-hmm. Compared to 15% among whites. And so blacks are still high rate of unemployment. Blacks do really not own Detroit, even though they're highly represented in terms of the population. Economically speaking, whites still control it. In fact, very few whites have the economic power to run the city of Detroit.
Yeah, but when you see someone like Dan Gilbert come in and really invest in the city, is that putting the city in the right direction?
Well, only if the benefits also go to those people who give the tax advantages to those developers. And the question is whether the people in Detroit are getting a fair share of the jobs and other opportunities that exist by those developers coming in. Okay. If the developers do not do that, you can expect in the near future the hostilities to occur, and that will not be a good situation.
Okay, but I'm curious, though, when you bring a developer comes in, are they not looking for someone with the skill set to do the job, or do you think it's really the racial decision that's being made by them?
The developers like to come in, and many of them like to bring their own employees when they come, as opposed to hiring those who are there. And so there's friction already existing because the developers do not want to give the benefits to the city of the residents in the city. They like to bring those outside. They argue that we have to have people who have the skills, and so we can't really use those who are here. Mm-hmm. But the residents in the city need jobs, and if they don't get them, I could see the anger emerging over time.
Yeah. Are you optimistic for Detroit from where it's at now to moving ahead?
Well, at this point, the jury is still out because I can see already if the city is not become more inclusive, I can see a prediction down the road that the situation would not be good. Hmm. If the residents and the developers can work out some agreement so that the benefits are shared, then I think the city will have a very good future.
It's MSU Geography Professor Joe Darden, author of Detroit, Race Riots, Racial Conflicts, and Efforts to Bridge the Racial Divide. Professor Joe Darden right here on 1320 WILS. Professor, it's been enlightening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.